Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
And I know you guys want to hear that wonderful intro. Here you go.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, this covenant's not in vain. Once the promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. This Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic Laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Welcome to the Covenant Cafe. Man, time to fly, man.
It is. It really is.
It is. I mean, this is weather here in VA. It's ridiculous. We're at 60, then we have 40, then we have 50. It's,
You're definitely not alone on that one, man. Down here it's like 100 degrees, then it's 10 degrees. Weather is in effect on my health, sadly.
I know you were suffering from a cold last week. How's that coming?
It's clearing up a little bit, but, you know, we soldiers. So when you're a soldier, you just fight. You feel me?
There it is. So what's our word for today?
Our word for today, it's really, you know me, I've been really keen on blessed. Whenever you see the word in the Bible, blessed, and it's in all caps, you know, it's something that you should take note of. You take note of these things because apparently this is something that you can use in your life if you want to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
I actually looked up the word blessed, the etymology of blessed and the breakdown of it. And blessed, when they're using it, blessed with the ED, when I'm saying blessed, it is to be blissfully happy.
Mm.
It's a state of mind. So blessed, in the dictionary, they also break it down as an anointing, as being ordained, or as a divine covering. So if you're looking at it, depending on which way you're looking at it, because the Hebrew Strong's Concordance, they break it down as a blissfully happiness. And as we know in English term, it is broke down as an ordained anointing or a covering, just something divine. It's a godly sense of separation. So anyway, that being said, now that you guys understand totally with somewhat of what blessed is, let's get down to another way of being blessed. So Psalms 32, 1 through 5, it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones rolled through my groaning all day long. For the day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into drought of summer. Selah. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So when you see Selah, you know, it's saying pause. Think about it. Think about what you just read. So let's break this down real quick and chew it up. Blessed is the man whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Well, how do you get yourselves covered? Because that's the first step of being towards a happiness, of towards a ordained blessing, depending on how the dictionary breaks it up. Your sin is covered. If you look into the New Testament, we're talking about how our sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So why is it so important that we need our sins covered? Why? How can we be blessed or blissfully happy or separated from this cover? How do we get this? You know, as the scripture went on, it says, to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. So once again, in order for to have that sound mind, to be that strong, to have that covering, once again, it's back to the Lord. And when you see in the Bible, you see the word L-O-R-D in all caps, but little, the little all caps, but they're all caps. It's talking about Yahweh, which is the creator, Yahweh. So because the name is so holy, of course, they imputed Lord, and they took out Yahweh's name. They put in Lord, you know, because it's so named, they're holy, they would not say it. So I've heard pastors talk about how when they're referring to Yahweh, when they say Lord, they're referring to Yahweh. And Yahweh, which is the creator, the great I am, when they're referring to Yahweh, they're talking about it's a characteristic of God. God makes it personal. It's a personal level. So when you're seeing Lord, like, this is personal. God has made it personal because he's our creator. So this is all showing, you know, relationship. But even going in deeper, this is where I want everybody to keen and keep your eyes on. It says, when I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning and all the day long. So this is David's psalm, and David is saying, you know, I have sinned, and when I did not confess my sin, I began to grow old. I was no longer blessed. My bones started to wither. I started shrinking. I started groaning. My body was falling apart. I was going insane in my mind. So I'm saying this to say that in order to obtain that blessing, we have to confess our sins. There's no point in doing something and not repenting. There's no point in doing something wrong and just trying to keep it to yourself, because you ever notice, like, you do something and it just torments you in your mind? You do something wrong, and until you confess it and get off your chest, it kind of torments you in your mind. So this is what David is saying. How did he solve that? Because he went on to it that God's hand was so heavy on him in verse 4, for day and night your hand was so heavy on me. So it's on his conscience hard. It's on him real heavy about his sin, the trouble he's caused. So what was the solution to this? I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. You have forgave the iniquity of my sin. See, I'll pause to think about it. How did David regain this state of being blessed, this mindset, this peace, this understanding? He gained it by confessing his sin to the Lord, by telling his transgressions. And the thing about a confession and repentance and deliverance, when you truly repent, and I'm talking about the true repentance. True repentance is not you apologize because, you know, it made you feel bad and you think that's the right thing to do with your image. I'm talking about that true, sincere, man, I'm sorry, it hurts. You know, I don't want God to be hurt from this. I don't want to hurt people because of what I did, or I know I'm doing wrong, period. I need to stop this. We're moving. That's when you're moving into that true repentance, and repentance, which starts to produce in this deliverance. Deliverance is that I don't do this anymore. I don't want no part of it. Yes, we all fall short, glory of God. But that don't mean that's not a scripture that's there so that we can mess up. That's a scripture there to boost you up. Like when you do mess up, like, yeah, you messed up, but you can get up and we can walk away from this. Not, yeah, we mess up and we can keep messing up. Mm-hmm. So we say all this to say, just bringing everything home now. You know, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. You know, so our transgression is forgiven. It gets forgiven. But how does it get forgiven? We must first acknowledge our sin to you, which is you as God, must acknowledge it to God, and, you know, not letting it be hidden. Confess your transgression, and it shall be forgiven. Yeah. So, and if you don't do this, you know, this tormenting can continue on. Like, I know people that's just stuck in the slavery of their past. They're so bound up because it's like, dang, you know, I messed up here. God will never forgive me for this, or my people will never forgive me for that, or they always break up my past every time I go in there, and I always do this and that. When you get into that mindset, like, man, I don't want to do something because of your past, then you obviously don't know, your relationship with God is not on a personal level. Because if you really know God, you will know that when you have repented and you're delivered and your sins are forgiven, God no longer remembers them. They're wiped away completely. Your slate is clean. So why are you still holding on to them? So when you really start getting a true relationship with God, you start to understand that it's no longer, man, God holding this against me, so I'll never make it. Like, no, the Bible says you are forgiven for this. You have to move forward. This is what the Bible is saying there. So if you're not reading the same Bible that I'm reading, and mind you, I'm not giving you an excuse to sin, like, oh, yeah, God will forgive me, because that's on a whole other track. You're moving into blasphemy and pride. But I'm more so talking about on true repentance, confess your sins. Let's move into this blessed, this true blessed, instead of the same old just living. Like, we can really live a life, a blessed life, which is a bliss. A happiness, and this is we're more so talking about this joy. It's a joy that no matter what's going on in your life, it can be storming, but for some reason it feels like it's an umbrella around your head. I'm talking about that joy that you can be in the midst of hell, but yet it feels like the air conditioning is on in that one spot that you're sitting at. It's a joy that even though you ain't eat, your belly is full, or you don't have money, yet all your resources are provided to you. It's a joy that's above this materialistic thing that people see. People think that money will make them happy, which is far from the truth. People also feel that, you know, being at a certain status will make them happy, which is also far from the truth. But when you are tapped into that joy, it's a joy that Satan can't take. It's a joy that your neighbor can't take. It's a joy that the IRS can't take.
Mm-hmm.
But in order to tap into that, you really have to have a personal relationship with God. And when I'm saying personal, I hope that you guys see that in Psalms 32, David kept it real. David messed up. He tried to keep it to himself. It didn't work. So he had to talk to God. He had to work his thing out. God, I messed up. I slept with Bathsheba. Lord, I did this. I set this dude up for murder. David was real about everything. Lord, I confess my sins. I need you to purge me and clean me from this. Give me one more chance. I ain't going to do it again. Like, this is a real taught relationship that we have to have with God. Like, God, I slept. I messed up. This is what I did. Can you please guide me through? Give me the strength so I don't do it again, and also give me the strength so that I can move past this and stop living in the past. This is the kind of things that we need in order for us to grow in Christ, confessing our sins, staying away from sin, you know, being more personal with God.
Mm-hmm. And I also like the fact that you clear the air about, look, don't just do stuff and then, okay, on purpose, intentionally.
Right.
Now, there's a difference between intentionally and an addiction.
Right, right.
You know, if you're an alcoholic and you go get, you struggle with alcoholism, and if you go get a drink, it's not really intentionally, but it's something that they're struggling with.
Right.
It's not like, okay, man, I got alcoholism, I'm going to get a beer, and then I'm going to pray for forgiveness. You know?
Right, yeah. That's on a whole other level. And, you know, people often, they don't really realize, like, addiction is a stronghold. And if you notice, what do they do when you have to deal with addictions? They have these 12-step programs, and the first one is to admit that you have a problem. I mean, if you really reverse it, if you really look at what they do, it's all biblical. Because what do we just say? We got to confess our sin. This is where it comes from. So that is the root. Confessing that, okay, I have a problem with drinking. I told myself I was going to stop, yet I wound up back in the bar. So the first step, okay, boom, we got to talk about that. And remember before when we was talking about blessed, in Psalms 1, it talks about being around, receiving counsel of the godly. So what is in the 12-step program is, you see, you're around people to confess what the problem is, and now everybody's giving you wisdom, and we're going to start taking steps to come out of this. But if you don't speak it, if you don't, you know what, I got a problem, I got to do something about this. If you don't even do that much, then what happens? It consumes you. So you start trying to figure your own way, and then a lot of times people, instead of trying to solve it by, you know, something logical, they actually try to drink it away, which is the problem in the first place. So we move into a deeper range when we're talking about addiction. This is when we need help. You definitely need help when you're facing stuff like addictions and everything like that. But when you are some old, I'm going to God, Lord, know my heart. He know I love him. And I'll go to church in the morning, this and that. And if I do something wrong, man, I'm just repent. You know, that's a sign of pride. Pride is a sin. It's a sign of pride, because how do you know that you're going to be alive after you do your dirt? Because the wages of sin is death. So if sin leads to death, you may not get that opportunity to repent. Therefore, you sacrifice your soul to go to hell just for momentary pleasure.
Yeah.
So we got to really realize how this Christian walk is more than just, yeah, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and then you keep it moving. Because honestly, the Bible says if you confess, and this comes from Romans, it says if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior and he was rose from the dead by God, then you will be saved. So what's so important is that you confess with your mouth and you believe with your heart. There's no way in the world you can believe with your heart, because the Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So love is the heart thing, right? So if that's the case, how can you say you love God but you do everything he told you not to do? So God does see your heart, and he sees that your heart is trifling and it's not with him.
Mm.
So it goes deeper into pride, because you are real prideful to really believe that you can mess up and God gonna forgive you. That's on a whole other level, because when you are a real saint, a real believer, if you really in God, you feel sick when you mess up. I can't tell you how many times, and I'm not saying I'm perfect or I'm the model, but I'm saying that I can't tell you how many times that I have cried or I've looked miserable. I felt really bad after I have slipped into sin or I've done something that I know wasn't pleasing to God. How many times I went in my closet begging God for forgiveness, and how God just give me one more chance, give me one more chance. And true enough, God has forgiven, and he will guide you through, but he also has chastised me, because I'm held as a leader, we are held more accountable. So I have received my chastisement. It's just like other people, we all receive chastisement from the Father. But the thing is, it's a prideful thing to believe that, to just say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to mess up tonight, but, you know, I'm going to repent about it later. Like, what if you don't make it? Because God ain't smiling about that. Like, oh, I can't wait till he repents. God ain't saying that. God, he frowns on the wicked. So we really got to step back and really look at what we're doing, because it's just like lie. As people, we come made in God's image. So we get a lot of characteristics and traits from God, excluding the flesh and the sinful nature of the flesh. But the characteristics of God, you know, just think about it. How would you feel if somebody deliberately, you told them, because this is what it is, don't do that, you'll be straight. And you deliberately do that anyway. They just do it anyway. Right after you told them that, they do it anyway. And then they come tell you, well, I just knew you was going to forgive me, so I just did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, how would you look at that? You know what I'm saying? It's all good, man. I'm going to come to your house. You know, and I'm going to be there for a little bit. I'm going to eat, and I'm going to talk to everybody, because, you know, spiritually food. I'm going to eat, talk to everybody, and I'm going to go. Matter of fact, I'm probably going to do what I did last night after I leave your house. And mind you only come to my house. He's only coming to your house once a week on a Sunday. And the Sunday ain't even the day of the birthday. And you only come sometimes it ain't even that much. It's only during certain holidays. You come visit him on Easter, Christmas, maybe not Christmas, maybe Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you really think about it, if you were to walk, we can't do that. So this is too big an idea, but I'm saying, if we were to walk in God's shoes and to see how we treat God, would that be acceptable to you? Would you really want to put up with that? So what I'm saying, looking deeper at it, God is so good, because, so I'm going to start, be honest with you, I don't have the patience for it that God puts up with me. I told you to do it, and I said my sin, and God forgave me. But, you know, us in our flesh, it's like, oh, man, I don't know if I can forgive you this time, because you just cursed me out and you slept with everybody and I told you not to. You just disrespect my name. I just, you know what? To hell. Done to me. That's how some people mindset is. But God gives us a period of grace and mercy. So to have a God that's willing to forgive us like that, the Bible says that he is slow to anger. It says, it talks about how he's so patient and so loving and so kind with us. He just takes his time with us. So to have a God that's willing to go through that much for us, to even send his son down to die, like, Lamont, you got kids, would you send your daughter to die for these people who don't really care?
Absolutely not.
So look what kind of God we got.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives you even more to say, God, I messed up. I messed up, Lord, and now I ask that, you know, help me. Help me walk this out. Forgive me. And this is the start. This is the start of a relationship. This is the start of repentance. This is the start of leading you to blessed is he / she, because remember it's talking about the brethren in the faith, so it's using he, but it's all of us. So blessed is they whose transgression is forgiven. And how is it forgiven? Because it's covered. It's covered. How is it covered? Blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. And how does he not impute iniquity? We're covered by the blood. So if we already got the blood on us, this is the beginning of our walk. This is how we walk. So how do we all get down to it? Last but least, this is what we all keening into. I acknowledge my sin to you, God, and my iniquity has been forgiven. It's not been hidden. I said I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Just mm-hmm. think about that, and that's where we are.
Absolutely. And you know what we're going to do now is go ahead into a song, and then Lace will lace you with what's going on in the world this week. Interesting things going on.
Yes.
And then, of course, then we have been to have weird news, and we have some people dropping by. We'll see.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We definitely do.
We'll see what's going to happen with that. So right now we're going to get into some Regina Bell. God is good. Here on the Covenant Cafe.
I know that God, my God, God is good.
Yes, he is.
God, my God, God is good. And all that he brought me out of darkness, God is good. And all that he saved my soul.
Songs remind me of an old school church.
Yes.
Doors and everything.
Now, what made the song so dope was there was no drum lines.
Mm-hmm.
There was no, you know, no harps, no flutes, no guitars, no nothing. It was just straight up stomp your feet, clap your hands, and just listen to my soul for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Powerful.
Yeah, I thought it sounded like an old church with
I want to get back to my roots, man. I want to do something like that, but I don't know if that happened. But, you know, something like that. That'd change the game if we can really get back to what our roots. And that's so strong. Like, you can hear the soul in that. There's no engineering. That doesn't sound like it's engineered or, you know, mm-hmm. let me put a little reverb and put my auto-tune on it. Like, nah, that's gift. God gives a gift. So that's, you know that seriously.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So what we got going on in the world today, I mean, not just today, from the last time we met?
I came across an article. This is a serious topic because there's something that teenagers and kids don't know. So I'm hoping that this article, if anything, will, provoke somebody to do more with their kids. This article is basically is titled that two teens were found guilty for rape. Dublinville High School football players were found guilty of raping a 16-year-old girl. Now, the thing about which was crazy about this, these football players at this city, in this town, you know, they are the stars. They're football players. So adults normally look the other way. Basically, so they're drinking. They're going to clubs all times of night. And mind you, these are below 18. They're all below 18 years old. They're still considered minors. So they're doing all kinds of things. They have the freedom of a grown man with the mind of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened was there was this party. The teenagers, you know, they had a party. And during the party, this one girl, 16-year-old young lady, she gets intoxicated, like pissy drunk, quotes. That's what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
She gets very drunk. She gets drunk and, you know, she goes into the room. And, you know, the football players are there, a couple of players, and they go, you know, they saw her intoxicated. And as is quoted in the article, that one pulls, he exposes himself and he places his penis on her hip, while the other one is playing her vaginal area with his two fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, she never says stop. She's drunk. She never says stop. And the players, you know, they're jocks, they're arrogant, former arrogant, stuff like that. They're videotaping it with their phone, people taking pictures and everything like that. So the next day goes on, the girl cannot remember nothing that happened. She didn't remember anything that happened. So it's just another day to her. Found out when she got back to school, there were pictures going around. She found out by social media. So she saw this all on Facebook, videos, pictures, tweets, statuses, her getting tagged and all this and that, these guys going ham on her.
Wow.
And that's where it led to rape. So now the thing is, the players, one of the arguments is, they asked, why didn't you stop this? And they said, well, we didn't know it was rape. So because she never told us to stop, we didn't know it was rape. So now they're looking at it in their mindset, it's like, what are we doing wrong?
Mm.
But from this young lady's part, it's like she's been humiliated. Her reputation has been mutilated.
Absolutely.
Her whole life. So it's like, you know, you took something from me without cause or asking. This is how she's saying, I never asked you, I never gave you permission to take my reputation. I never gave you permission to violate my body. And the thing that's crazy is, this ain't the first time this has happened. The issue is the way how the police broke it down. The police say they would have never got caught, or it would have been a big deal if it had not been videotaped. Since it was videotaped, it was like a crime getting the crime, the evidence firsthand. The evidence was handed to us. It was an open and shut case.
Mm.
Due to Facebook, we see your confession. Your confession was on Facebook. The evidence was on your cell phone. The pictures were the crime scene itself. The vomit and everything was the yellow tape, roped off. Your semen, all that is the yellow tape. So now we got a crime scene, we got photos, we got evidence, we got enough to put you away. So these two young men who actually were going to college, going to the military, there were some people that got acquitted because, you know, they weren't in the videotape doing it, but they were there, but, you know, they didn't end up on them. They're basically saying that all these kids' lives are now ruined from this one act. So as I'm reading this, they're blowing it out of proportion, not really blowing out of proportion, but they're saying that, you know, the kids are not evil, but they are very, very arrogant to feel that they are right at doing that because they are objectifying women and, you know, they're breaking it down, going in deep, made it sound like they are a rapper or something, right? But as I'm reading this, the thing that stood out to me the most was the teenager said that he did not know that it was rape. He did not know he was doing wrong. So when I see things like that, it causes me to ask myself, like, okay, why didn't he not know what was wrong? So nobody told you that it is wrong to sleep with a woman when it's not mutual. That whole thing of rape is like, it's not like we were hiding in the alley and we snatched her up.
Mm-hmm.
So that means these kids aren't being educated on what rape is and then how their lives are gone. It saddens me when I see the teenagers, black, white, Mexican, it don't matter the ethnic background. And when I see a teenager and his whole life is gone from one mistake. And it saddens me, like, what could have been placed differently? So as I'm reading this article, you know, it's a sad story to me that, you know, one young lady, her reputation is mutilated.
Exactly.
Two young men have just lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that's involved in this have to deal with a guilty conscience.
All right, hold that
thought. But Lord knows how long.
We have a caller on the line. Hold that thought for a second. Caller, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
How are you? This is Sister Fatih. Come on.
Hey. Hey.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Oh, awesome.
We got a gift for you.
It's a blessing to be part of the show today.
Absolutely. That's our rally group. Okay, we're definitely glad to have you on the show, and Poetic will be doing the interview.
Okay.
First, let me say that it is it's an honor,
Poppy,
and a blessing. It's an honor and a blessing to be speaking with you, woman of God. You are, you know, it's just I commend you on your services for the Lord and just the things that you have persevered through. It's awesome. I'm excited to be speaking with you. I definitely want to say that first.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I was I wasn't sure when you contacted me first on Twitter. I was like, you know, it's time for, you know, us African gospel musicians to just spread the word out there and let the world know that there are people that are talented and gifted that are also, you know, preaching the good news of Jesus.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
It's a blessing.
Yes. And that's definitely true. It seems that we are so segregated. And when I say segregated, I'm talking about segregated as a body. We have American Christians, African Christians, European Christians, but we're one body. And why do we have to be so apart or look at one another either from your noses in the arrogance or like belittling people or even just looking up? So I definitely applaud you, and I have so much respect for the craft, and your music is dope.
Thank you so much.
Besides all that, I'm definitely going to pretend like I never read your bio. I don't know anything about you. Nobody knows anything. I didn't promote or nothing. So we want to know, who are you? Give us a background of who you are.
Okay. My name is Sister Fatih K. Samora from West Africa, Sierra Leone. Came here in 2000 in the United States, went to high school, went to college, studied criminal justice, and at that point in time, I just figured that, you know, the Lord has called me into ministry. and this is what I really wanted to do. At the moment, I just want to put everything aside and just focus on my calling, which is singing. So that's what I'm doing right now. And so far, the Lord has been a blessing, and he has definitely shown himself, manifested himself, you know, through what I'm doing, and prove that he is the God. What he says he will do is what he will do. So I thank God for that. Currently, I had my first album that came out in 2011, and I'm working on another one that is going to be coming up hopefully by the end of this year. So that's what I'm, you know, focusing on right now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So we want to know something a little more deeper. This is my favorite question. I love asking artists and poets and everybody that comes on the show this. I'm from an urban area, which, you know, is a nicer word for ghetto. And in these communities, a lot of people feel that they have no reason to believe in God. They feel that you're successful at your craft, but what does that have to do with me? So you worship your God while I suffer. This is the mindset that I always run into. And testimonies is what is so powerful and what changes people's view. So the audience would like to know, what have you been through? What has God been through for you to be so bold in proclaiming the gospel to the world?
Oh, my goodness. Where do I start?
God is faithful.
All I can say is that God is faithful. I mean, the God that we serve is not a man that he should lie. First of all, when he said in his word in the book of Jeremiah, he said, "For I know the thought that I have towards you. These are thoughts of good and not of evil, for us to meet an expected end." It is so true. It only depends if we believe. I know sometimes we go through trying times, temptation and tribulations, and as humans, we're so tempted to give up easily. But if we know the God that we're serving, we should know that he's not moved by our emotions. He moves by the faith that we have. When you have faith and you're steadfast, you hold on to him, in due season, he will definitely prove himself that he is your creator. He is the one that gives everything that you need, that I need. Let's just take an example of the birds in the air. Every day they have food they can eat. Who provides for them? The Lord. So who? What about you and I that are able to go to work, to afford a shelter? Why would you think God is not able to do anything for us? When I look at my life today, I came from a third world country. We had a 12 years of civil war. During those times, I nearly, I gave up, and I was asking God, like, why us? I saw friends that I sat in the same classroom with being killed in front of me. Girls being raped in front of me. But God took me out. So many times the devil attempted to take my life away. But God said, no, he has a plan for my life. And that plan is for me to come to this great nation and spread the gospel and let the people know that if he did it for me, he can do it for anybody if you only make yourself available.
Yes.
So I'm just encouraging anyone that you know you have the calling. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be a singer like me. God gives, in the Bible, he gives like five men with different type of gift. You can be someone that can clean the church, the ministry. You can be a man that can play the guitar in the choir. Ministers going to the prison, ministering to people, encouraging them. So you just have to make use, acknowledge what your gift and your calling is and use it for the right purpose, which is for God. Because nowadays we're living in the end times. The Bible says we never know when or the hour or the time when the Lord will come. So we always have to be prepared and just keep our head up high.
Yes. I'm trying not to shout. I have a bad habit of shouting on the air. But that, I love it how you said you don't have to be a singer like me. Your calling can be to help out at the church. Your calling can be just to be a teacher. Or your calling could be that impact in an individual's life. You don't know, but it's so important to build a relationship with God. And I'm ready to hear your song. You know, I can ask you more questions after that. I'm ready to hear the song. What you say, Lamont?
Yeah, let's go into your song. And I'm going to tell you what. When we go into your song, I want you to stay right there. Stay put. Don't go anywhere because we're definitely going to come back. Now, before we go into your song, the song that we have is Jesus Loved the Children. Can you tell us something about that song? How did it come about? I mean, I understand your inspiration. That's clear. But how did that song come about?
Well, this song came about, I was working on a project for the children in our ministry to have like a children's choir. So I was in the basement putting the song together. I recorded it and everything. So I went to Africa in 2011, and there was this beautiful little girl that I met in my mother's house. She was about almost a year old. Now, my mother never told me about this child. And growing up, I always had this compassion for orphans. Children that have less, I will always take, you know, out of the little that we have at home and bless the children out there that don't have nothing. So I always ask God, when you make a way for me, I will make sure I make every child that I come in contact with, give them a comfortable life. Like you, I know that you are the father of the fatherless, but at the same time, we have to reach out and show that love. God does not come down to show that love. He uses us to show love to one another. I went to Africa in 2011. I met this girl, and I asked my mother, like, who is this girl? Where is she from? Like, who is the mother? That's when she told me the story about this little girl. She said she was looking for a child to adopt because all of us are grown now. It's three of us. So my younger brother's there in college. I'm in the state. So she was basically home lonely. She wanted, you know, someone she can, you know, have companion or whatever. So a friend of her called and she said, I found a child. You were talking about, you know, wanting a child to raise. And she said, sure. But they told her, listen, this child is in a really terrible condition. The mother abandoned her in a garbage can. At 1 month old. She was left in a garbage can to die because the mother couldn't take care of her. So my mother said, I would take that child. She brought that child home, literally, like, fighting for her life. Everybody kept telling her, if I were you, I would not get myself involved in this child. Just leave her aside and, you know, whatever happens, happens. She said, no, I will raise this child. This child will be nurtured to life. And when she told me that story, and I thought about the song that I had already recorded, and I went to the studio in Africa and rewrote the song in just in relation to what my mother told me about that little girl. So she became like my own little stepsister, no, adopted sister. So her story moved me to rewrite my song and just put it on my album. And everyone that listened to that song has been a blessing. And it's a message that I am willing, with the help of God, to spread out there, to show love to the children, the motherless, the fatherless, because they need that love. That's how that song came about.
Wow. Beautiful.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here. Now the song we're going to go into is Jesus Loved the Children, here on the Covenant Cafe. We'll be right back.
The mouth is soft for so when Jesus lost them to the mouth. We have to show them good love and tender care, for they are the future generation. God save the little children.
Wow, very nice song. Very, very nice. Very nice. Good
beautiful.
You
got, thank God.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know what? We got to give her that recession proof. We got the good group.
Absolutely.
Those guys right there, they're the calm crowd.
Thank you.
That's the calm crowd. We had the rowdy group, and then we had the calm group. That was the calm group.
Thank
those,
God.
Those guys were the older guys sitting with their legs crossed.
Yeah.
We thank God. We thank God.
Absolutely.
So I must say, you now have our attention, so we want to support you. How can we support you? You have a Twitter, Facebook, website. Where are you going on tour, events? You know, let us know how we can, you know, plug into your music, follow you, be up to date. What's going on with you?
Well, I have a Facebook, Fatih K. Samura, S-A-M-U-R-A.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my fan page. And I also have my own personal page, Fatih Kamara, F-A-T-I, last name K-A-M-A-R-A. And my Twitter is Kamara Fatih, K-A-M-A-R-A-F-A-T-I. And that's where, so far, my website is still not up yet. I'm working on it. But we have a charity program that we're running under the ministry that I'm working, that I'm attending right now. We send wheelchairs and supplies, books for children, disabled children, and also disabled adults. So that's what I'm involved in right now through the ministry. As I said, you know, the work of God is a big, big, big thing. So it takes a whole lot, all of us,
mm-hmm.
to just come together and do it. One man cannot do it. So whatever way anyone can help, like we just shipped a 40-foot container last month to the disabled camp in Freetown, Sierra Leone. So next month, my pastor will be going to Africa to distribute these items. Every year we send out, you know, tons of wheelchairs. We just have a company, an organization, Joni and Friends. They donated 40 wheelchairs to us. You know,
wow.
It's a blessing.
Mm.
So we really thank God for what he's doing. And for it's an opportunity and a privilege for me to be part of this, you know, organization to help the less fortunate back in Sierra Leone. And as God can do it, I believe that in due time we'll be extending this charity to other countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
So that's what we're doing.
Can you do me a favor? My internet is horrible right now, but can you
mm-hmm.
come on Twitter? It's at Poetic Lace, at P-O-E-T-I-C-L-A-C-E. And I'm going to follow you back when I get to run some good internet. I definitely want to be, you know, involved, and I want to be up to date on what you have going on and any way I can help, even if it's just a tweet. My followers to come support you or whatever it may be, you know, I want to be involved in it. I believe that if we move as one body, we can do a lot, lot more than this segregated mind that we're in. So I definitely would like that for you to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will definitely do that. I really thank God for you guys, and I pray that what you're doing right now to reach out to the ministers, the people of God, the children of God, to encourage them, because it's so hard for the children of God for their voice to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I always say it's easier for people in the world, like the secular musicians, people that are singing that are not gospel, they make it up there so fast. But there's nothing wrong with that, but for the fact that gospel musicians are spreading the gospel, spreading the good news. Their voice needed to be heard. The world needs to listen and, you know, just hear what we have to say. And for what you guys are doing, just encouraging us, giving us that opportunity for us to, you know, even if it's our testimonies we share on, you know, on the air, it will be a blessing to someone else that is listening. It will be a life-changing for someone else that is going through the similar situation. So I really thank God for your lives, and I pray that your program, God, will take you from higher ground to more higher ground, and you'll be established in everything that you do.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God
mm-hmm.
for you, and thank God for your program.
Thank you. Well, glory to God. And you definitely give shouts out to D. Slate, our show director. You know, he had a heart to do it. So, you know, God is good. And I also want to speak this into your life. A lot of times, you know, it is harder on a Christian and the gospel network to get our message heard that God has put in us. But one thing that I'm learning in this industry is that God is about longevity. I had to say that you see, I have a lot of people that's in the industry. They rise quick, but they fall just as quick. And because they just, there's nothing. But what God does with us, we go through a slow process. And the slow process, it teaches us humility. It teaches us endurance. It teaches us how to persevere. So when we do get to the top, it takes a lot more than one slip up for us to fall. So God is pruning us and strengthening us and molding us, and God is about longevity, and how can you stay up long if you don't go through something for a good little period? So, you know, I just encourage you to keep persevering and to know that God's will shall be done in your life. So keep strong, keep being bold, keep pushing forward, and keep your eyes prize, stay focused on what God has for you, because, yeah, those people around you that's in the secular realm, quote-unquote, they may be rising, but when they fall, it's a great fall. It's a really great fall, and we got a Savior that catches us when we fall, so if we fall, we're not falling far. So just keep that in mind as you continue to grow, and you'll see. Watch.
Amen. Amen. And what's your your Twitter?
My Twitter is at Poetic Lace.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just at PoeticLace. So definitely, I want to stay in touch. And when I get to the internet, I'll definitely get back to you. I wanted to try to tweet you, but I couldn't. Phone's stupid. Internet's stupid.
Okay.
Now.
All right.
And I have $1 million question for you before we let you go.
Uh oh. Shout out to you.
The most important question.
Yes.
Can you fry chicken? Or do you know how to fry chicken? See, I chase fried chicken. I don't know what y'all can do in Africa. So, can you fry chicken?
Yes, I can.
You're like, yes, I can. What?
Yes, I can. I'm a wonderful cook. Thank God for my mother.
See, I can hear it in your voice. I know when people be lying. They come on and say, yeah, I can fry chicken. You can tell when they lie. But you can cook. I give you that.
I'm trying to turn this big chicken off.
We're
not
big
only
fried chicken. Everybody's
going to
perform. Everybody's going to minister.
That's funny. We thank God. I can cook fried chicken and fried fish a whole lot.
That's what I'm talking about.
Even when you go to Africa, like you have now, things are so easier compared to maybe 15 years ago. You know, I was shocked when I went in 2011, 2 years ago. Things were so different. Like, they have supermarket. You have whatever you have here in the States, you have basically everything there. Life is so much easier there now. I was like, wow, bravo. You know, but God is bringing us over here, prepare us to go make a life, you know, more comfortable and better for the people back there. You know, it's a blessing. And I hope one day you guys go there and visit. You'll love it.
I'm definitely planning on it, seriously.
Yeah, you will love it. You will love it. Where do you want to go? What part in Africa?
I don't know. I just want to land there. I don't have any specific destination yet, but I know, honestly, my uncle, he goes almost every other year of doing ministry work down there.
Where? What country?
Oh, I'm not exactly sure, but I know he goes down there a whole lot. I think Ghana.
Ghana, okay. Because I know a lot of people go to Ghana, South Africa, and Kenya. I know of that.
I know you've been to Kenya. But like I say, he travels all the time down there, and he's always, you know, the church do a lot of ministry work down there.
You should come. Maybe one time when we're traveling to go, you know, distribute our equipment, not tomorrow, not today, maybe in the future, you'll come and just experience. And just experience a different. Go ahead.
If I had money like that, I would. I'd be right down there. Okay, you come down tomorrow. I'll be down there tomorrow. Let me get on this plane real quick.
It's not cheap. It's a lot of money, like almost $2,000.
Wow.
It depending on the season. Like, let's say towards December, the cold season, everybody want to run away from the cold to go there. So, like, the tickets are really high. But during the summertime, it's cheaper, like $1,500, $1,400. When I went, I got my ticket for like 13 something, $13.75. So that was cheap.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah, well, so we definitely definitely appreciate you on this show.
Thank
definitely
you.
Have to have you back.
Okay, definitely. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem. You have a good night, okay?
You too.
All right.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night. Wonderful. That was great.
That was great. I love the barriers we're breaking. It's funny, but it's not funny. You know how I'm saying we're breaking barriers with the civil movement. But if you think about it, you know, on this show, we have brought indie artists, we brought major artists, we've brought in foreign artists, we've brought in, you know, a cluster of different Christian gospel poets, and different people who would not be in the same place at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So just them to come on and to share, like, you know, once again, I got to give another shout out to D Slate, our show director, the D Hour Show Network. Got to give him a shout out because God is really moving through him to we're leveling the playing field now.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Jay Moss fans that's on here right now that's listening to her and hearing her messages. They understand, like, oh shoot, it's going down in Africa. Like, there it's more than just America thing right now. Like, let's take our view from ourselves and then start looking like, okay, God has blessed us tremendously. That's one thing to keep in mind. God has blessed us so much because our Civil War movement was long ago. You know what I mean? We're not dealing with the same slavery. I mean, there's middle slaves now, but we're not dealing with the same. If you're colored, go here, and you're white, you got the best stuff anymore. But still in Africa, some of them are still in bondage there, physical bondage.
Yeah.
So what it shows us, like, wow, like, it's a blessing to be here in this nation. You know, even though our government's been screwing up, blah, 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 but it's still a blessing to be here. And then, too, it just shows us that, like, wow, like, look at the talent that God has strategically placed in all these places across the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's definitely a blessing to show. The Covenant Cafe is definitely the place to be. It sounds like a commercial.
Well, in that case, well, since it sounds like a commercial, what we're going to do is we're going to pay our bills. And then we'll come back to what we left off with what's going on here in America or in the world. So here on the Covenant Cafe, we're going to go to commercial break. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Do you have an event you're planning and need a keynote speaker? Then the Speakers Bureau Institute is the agency for you. Actress Tasha Smith partners with RKD Music and Talent Management to bring an array of celebrity speakers, artists, and athletes for your event. Book names like Kim Coles, Tasha Smith, Tisha Campbell-Martin, Vanessa Bell Calloway, LaToya Luckett, Lisa Leslie, Flex Alexander, Leela James, Cheryl Lee Ralph, and more. Whether it's a conference, workshop, seminar, or college event, SBI has provided a phenomenal lineup of speakers that will cater to your event. For more information on booking a speaker for your next event, call 818-571-0998 or visit rkdmusic.com. SBI is a subsidiary of RKD Music and Talent Management, located in Beverly Hills, California.
Attention all shoonistas. Looking for a hot stiletto? Are you addicted to sexy shoes? Make a fashion statement and check out the Stiletto Diva at www.thestilettodiva.com. We have what you need. The Stiletto Diva is committed to bringing you a variety of affordable, quality styles to help complete the sexy in you. We're here to assist you with bringing out the ultimate diva from head to soul. True divas wear stilettos. Visit us at www.thestilettodiva.com to find the perfect pair or for information about booking a party.
All right, and welcome back. So what were we talking about? I'm just thrown right now because she was fabulous.
Yeah, she was.
Just obvious.
Okay, we were talking about the high school students and who were just recently found guilty for raping a 16-year-old young lady. And And it wasn't, the title of the story, it makes it sound far worse than what it is, even though it's real bad. There's nothing to play with about rape. The thing was like a young lady, she was drunk, 16-year-old. The kids were 17, 15, 14, you know, mm-hmm. 17, you know, 16 years old. These, you know, football players, high school, varsity, and junior varsity football players. And two of the young men were raping her, caught on, not raping her, but having sex without her consent. She was, and it word got out through social media, the videos and pictures and everything, and that's when they started to get real for everybody, because her her status as a high schooler, young lady, her reputation is mutilated, and herself, her own image is hurt. She's hurt, even how she looks at herself. So it went to a higher degree. And the young men, they felt that it wasn't rape because she never said stop. She never said, she never showed any signs of like, oh, I'm in pain, this hurts, or whatever. Because she was so drunk that she don't even remember what happens. So mm-hmm. the thing about it is, I really feel that it's not even that I feel it. I mean, I know that rape that is really... that really gets to everybody in this is the raping that you took something from her mm-hmm. that you didn't ask for. And I'm not just talking about her vagina, her vagina, but I'm talking about her reputation. You mm-hmm. took a piece of her, quote, her soul in some sense, because now she has to live with this. And mm-hmm. that's where the DA and everybody's really making a deal out of it, is that you're arrogant, you're a football player, you jock, all this stuff, and now you just think you can get away with everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how deep it is, that rape is not just something that it's a physical attack. It's also you can mentally rape somebody, you can spiritually rape somebody. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it is our kids, this generation coming up, you see, she just had a song about love. Jesus loves the children.
Mm-hmm.
And even Jesus in the Bible, it talks to Jesus said, you know, don't keep any of these kids back from you. Now, true enough, you may not say, don't go to church, child, or don't do this, don't do anything with God. You may not say that, but when you are allowing your child to behave in certain manners that's ungodly, when you allow this to happen, you're giving consent to your child to stay away from Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is up to us as the upper, as the older generation, as the alpha males, I'm talking to men, and as the women, even single moms, it is up to us to tell the kids, like, okay, you're not allowed, you shouldn't be smoking. You should, you curfew. You know, the thing is, I grew up, I didn't really have a curfew. I had, when I grew up as a child, now I had street lights. When the street lights come on, you better come in this house. And as I started getting older, the rules started lightening. And when I hit at a certain age, I mean, I was clubbing everything early, da 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 da. But the fact that I had some sense of ground, some sense of boundary.
Mm-hmm.
So kids should not be out past that late at night anymore. Shouldn't, like, come on, man, you. 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, and you out at 3 a.m. in the morning at a party drinking beer?
Mm-hmm.
Like, come, like, that's it's some stuff. And then as an adult that's selling the liquor to the kid, there's got to be conviction there. While you doing that, you're telling them it's okay. And now they're getting this mindset that they're entitled. Because I do this, I deserve it. I play football, I'm doing my thing, I deserve to drink before it's time for me to drink.
Well, let's backpedal a little bit. Let's backpedal, and in the situation at hand here, ladies and gentlemen, we have to break this down for the younger listeners.
Okay.
Now, they took something without permission. That's about okay.
Right.
It's a bigger story, but the bottom line is, you took something without permission.
Right,
and you don't see what's wrong with that. Now let's take it a little bit more simple. Let's say these guys, you know, they play Madden. I play football. I play the Madden. Okay. Now if I came, let's say I have the older Madden. Let's say last year's version, 2012,
mm-hmm.
and I come over to your house, Poetic. I come
mm-hmm.
over to your house.
Okay.
And I take the newer one, you had 2013.
Okay.
I take the new one. You don't even know about it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, you don't, and I go out the house with your game.
Mm-hmm.
That's stealing. Although I know you.
Right.
It's not borrowing because I didn't get permission.
True.
You see what I'm saying? So.
Yeah.
some things have to be just laid out there, simple, just like instructions. When you buy something, everything's broken down into very simple instructions on how to build the dresser, the desk, whatever you put up. And the thing here is they have to understand, and they know. You know, they're playing the game. Like, I didn't know, you know, she didn't say nothing. What do you mean she didn't say nothing? I came over and took your game. You didn't say nothing because you didn't know what was going on.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? So,
yeah.
People, we have to open our eyes. And my opinion, they need to be persecuted.
Mm.
Because you are of age and you
right.
are in your right mind.
Right, right.
You know what you're doing.
Right.
No one is forcing you to do it. No one has a gun to your head. No one makes, just like the young lady we just had on the radio show. No one, I mean, like, she saw situations right there in front of her.
Mm.
At that time, moment in time, she had no choice.
Right.
Because it happened. If she had a
right.
choice, if someone said, hey, I'm not trying to be graphic, but if someone said, hey, we about to kill some people in here,
mm-hmm.
either you can leave or you can stay. At that point, she has a choice.
Right.
Because that did not happen, it happened, and there was no choice. The young lady had no choice in this situation. She had a choice as far as drinking-wise. Okay.
Right.
That
right.
does not justify what they did, by far. Because she was intoxicated, she had no choice at that time because she was unaware of what was going on. On the other hand, these guys knew what was going on. Am I correct? Is that if I'm understanding the story correctly?
Right, right. She was found drunk, passed out, you know. So they knew what they were, their intentions were, and they knew she wasn't in a position of talking. Put it like that.
Mhm. And that's just, and it's sad because everybody loses, everyone lost in that situation.
Correct.
Everybody, and it's sad, and it's sad that because of on the back end of the jock syndrome, America built that.
Yeah.
I don't care white or black.
Correct.
Because we put sports figures, especially, on this pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it in college. I went to Liberty, a Christian university.
Mm-hmm.
They put these guys on a pedestal that, like, these guys can come to class when they want to.
Mm-hmm.
They can get the higher grades when they want to. They're not even in class. When they come, I'm not telling a story. These guys, I had some guys come in our class, okay? The teacher was giving a lesson. He was lecturing. They came in late. The teacher stopped the lecture. He addressed, like, why y'all coming in late? And they said something about practice or whatever. And then this guy or this girl, I mean, this teacher, this guy or woman or lady, however you want to say it, stopped the lecture and asked them about this weekend's game.
Mm.
So, you know, these guys get put on a pedestal. And then at the same time, once you get put on this pedestal, now they feel that they can do anything they want.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it in the news all the time, NFL players, basketball players, you know, getting found, you know, they driving drunk. Why? My thing is, why are you getting a DUI and you have all this money when you can get a cab?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of bouncing around so people can understand what is going on here. These guys
right.
and this young lady lost everything, period, bottom line. And what we need to do is change our thinking, our way of handling athletes, and especially in high school,
mm-hmm.
you know, because if you're handled properly in high school, when you go to college, you'll know better.
That's true. That's true.
You know, I'm sorry. You can go ahead.
No. You're on point with it, and it's funny that you were saying that because. As soon as you were talking about the drunk driving and the professional athletes that do it, you know, immediately is, you know, it just hit me in my mindset. Before we kind of talked about, it's about mindset. It's just like they say, you could take a dude out the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of him. You remember that phrase, but I didn't say the N-word, of course.
Yeah.
And the thing about that phrase is it's so biblical because when you have a certain mindset, it doesn't matter where you at, that mindset is still going to be there. So you have an NFL player who, you know, he say he's from the hood, and he's getting drunk and doing this and that. He grew up in that way and was not corrected in it. Nobody ever challenged his character. So now once he gets to the league, he's doing the same thing. So it's not going to be the place that's going to change your mindset. You know what I mean? You can be in the suburbs, you can be in the hood, you can be anywhere in the world. If you still got that slave mentality, like remember we were talking about addictions, that slave mentality to where, because feeling entitled is a slave mentality because you have been a slave to your pride. So if you got that slave mentality, and it doesn't matter where you at, what you're doing, your mindset is still going to go back to some form of pride or some form of entitlement. So I'm 100% with you when you're saying we got to correct them, you know, at a young age. You know, correct them. If you start molding them in high school, if you start making them work for things in high school instead of giving it to them, when they get to college, they have that understanding. And through college, that pruning thing, because – at the same time, you're going to have favoritism in life.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have that. You're going to have people that because you do this, like example, like Lamont, if you were to say, you know, yeah, I'm a writer, I'm a director, I do this, that, and the third, oh, people are going to want to get to know you better. It's maybe you can't help them, but you can help their little sister get a gig or something. People want to get to know you. So you're going to have that kind of favoritism here and there. But the thing is, we need to start pruning the youth. We need to start challenging them, start molding them better instead of turning our heads. And it's a challenge for all of us because there are times I've seen a young man sagging and I didn't say nothing. And there are times that I've seen him, I'm like, bro, put your pants up, dog. See your drawers.
Yeah.
And then he might say something back. So it all depends on, you know, what your situation may be. But I encourage that. You remember when we had Black Ice on the show and he said, man, back in the day when he was growing up, one child was everybody's kid. So everybody had the authority to challenge him and to prune him. And that's what caused him to be a political figure in the poetic arena. Because he was raised by everybody. When he said something ignorant, you had Uncle Joe, who ain't his uncle for real, who lived 10 houses down, who would be like, hey, did you read this book? You need to start reading and stop playing the game. He had that kind of influence in his life from some dude who ain't even blood. So, you know, that's a challenge for all of us if we can start. When we see the youth, we see things, you know, even speaking to them because it's a way to say things. Because it's not always what you say, but how you say it.
Yeah.
And that's where your wordplay in general, too. Because you can't, hey, what you doing? Nah, like, hey, what's up, bro? You know, your pants kind of, you know, everybody can see your drawers. You cool with that?
Mm-hmm.
The way I said it is going to cause him, it's going to cause him to think. And then he may say, like, well, what you mean, man? It's a style. I'm like, well, bro, you know what I mean? You know, in jail, you're a punk. But they eating that. And now you got him thinking. Whether he makes the change that day, we plan to see. And the whole thing is to say that I did something. You know, you already know my philosophy. If you're not a part of the solution, then what are you a part of?
Mm.
It's too close to being a part of the problem. That's not what I want to be. I don't want to be the person who said, well, yeah, man, this is wrong with this, and we need to fix that. I'm tired of all this and that, and do nothing?
Nothing.
How can you waste so much energy talking about how bad things are, but you haven't done anything? So that's why I feel like our resume should be talking more than what we're saying. You know what I mean? Like, Lamont, I know what you're doing for the community. He's doing something. So it almost gives you the right to be on this show right now saying, man, we got to do better.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're doing. Oh, I see what you're doing. Oh, I've heard what you're doing. We got to do something, and it's not the fact of broadcasting, like, because, you know, I barely talk about the things I'm doing in the community about the show, but it's known. It's about, I'm not talking about broadcasting what you're doing, but I'm talking about doing something. Even if you're just that one guy, man, this guy always telling me to pull my pants up. I don't even know him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you got a belt on now. Like, if you at least that guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like she said, and I love what she said. She said, everybody's not, she said, you may not be a singer like me, but you can help out at the church.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can be a teacher. Or you could be the guy to pick up the trash. Just
yep.
work your calling. And picking up the trash, that's not belittle, because the earth gets dirty. We get problems.
You stop me. You stop me right there. Because everybody be like, man, I ain't picking that up. Why I got to pick up the trash? I want to help clean off the tables.
And the thing about it is, but who put the trash there? Especially if you're the one that put the trash there.
Absolutely.
I've had no problem, because when I was, in my younger days, I would just throw stuff out the window. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
So now that I'm older and I know the significance of, we don't get this earth back. We're going to get a new earth. Jesus is going to give us a new earth, a new body, a new heaven. We're going to get a new that. But this earth is passing away. So the thing is, I'm not going to take my time on earth for granted. So from time to time, you might see me, if I see some trash on the ground, I might pick it up and put it in the trash can. I don't throw my stuff out the window anymore. I don't do none of that, because I want to do something
I'm going to give you a scenario. And we were at, what was that, Walmart? We were at the dollar store. Okay, and me and my daughter, we were walking down the aisle, and there was a hula hoop on the ground. I didn't
mm-hmm.
walk through the hula hoop and then keep walking. I picked it up. I didn't put it there.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up.
Right.
And my daughter sees that.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? She's five. She's like, why did you do that? And she asked me. I said, you know, want to make sure, you know, this picking up is a good thing to do it. You know, if you see
mm-hmm.
something out of place, go ahead and pick it up. And
mm-hmm.
they said, so nobody would trip? I said, yeah. That
works. Yeah. Yeah, that works.
That works. So now you know. It's instilled in her, like, okay, if I see something, I'm going to pick it up so no one would trip. You know, I just have a tendency to just pick it up. You know, if I'm at the gas station in line, and I'm about to, pay for my gas, whatever, and if there's a candy bar hitting the floor, then just hit the floor, I'll just pick it up. There's a video, I got to find this video. It was on, actually, Facebook a little while ago. And it was pretty strong, because that same scenario, what happens each time someone saw something, they actually did it in their own environment. And then the next person saw it, and then they did it in their own environment. So say, for instance, my daughter, you know, she saw me pick up the hula hoop. She saw that we embarked on this hula hoop in the middle of the floor. I picked it up. So now she's going to go and help out somebody else. And because
mm-hmm.
that person was helped by her, they're going to go out and help somebody else. And that's the way the video was. And I cannot remember originally the guy, I guess, the guy did some graffiti on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And he was punished by, he had to actually clean the wall himself. And somebody stopped and helped him. So both of them was cleaning the wall. And then somebody saw him helping the guy cleaning the wall, and then he ended up helping someone else. So it was just like...
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you see that piece?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's what we need to do on every level, just like with the pants. Like you said, hey man, hey, bro, you know, pull your pants up. A younger guy might see that and be like, oh, okay. I mean, you're a young guy yourself. So someone else
yeah.
see, you know, one of your peers see you saying that to somebody. And
mm-hmm.
they're like, oh, okay. You know, it's a cool
yeah.
thing to do.
Right.
You know. So then
and piggybacking off of that, too, and not only being, you know, being the one that's saying it, but also to be the one that's living it. Because,
yeah.
You know, in the commercial you were talking about, when dude was do painting and somebody else is coming to help paint and somebody else, the third person saw the second person go. He didn't. The second person didn't say, "Hey, y'all come over here." The second person just went to do it. So the
mm-hmm.
third person followed from what he saw. So the same thing, like, you know, I'm saying it to my peers right now that's listening. Y'all know I'm all got a belt, got my pants pulled up. So if you see me, you people see me do that, so like, oh, you ain't got to say it to be cool. So, and I ain't even saying it. That's not even something I've been promoting lately. You know, so
mm-hmm.
it doesn't always take for us to say something or to be a voice. Sometimes our voice is loud when we just do it.
Absolutely.
You could be that guy, oh, he always, you know, let me just do it. Just sometimes we subconsciously, not even knowing it, unconsciously, we don't even know it, that we mess around and doing some good stuff because of something we saw.
Mm-hmm.
So that is definitely, you know, I had to piggyback off of what you just said, too, just based off of the, we can do it. It don't even matter if we say it. Just doing it, being that living testament. That's what the Bible talks about often, about how, you know, don't be hearers of the word, but be doers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just hear it. Don't just hear what we're saying. Let's do it. Let's do something.
Absolutely. I agree. So what we're going to do, let's go into a song, and we'll come back with some weird news. We got some very interesting stuff. And then we have somebody else supposed to be driving by shortly. So you guys, stay tuned to what's going on here on the Covenant Cafe. And what we're going to play right now is a little Dietrich Haddon. The More I Praise here on the Covenant Cafe. Ladies and gentlemen, we actually had to cut the song short because we do have someone calling in right now. We will return to that song later. So let's go to our lines here. Caller, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
What's going on, brother?
What's going on?
Man, I'm chilling, man. Just got done eating, man, at Longhorn Steakhouse, man. So my stomach is full, brother. So have mercy on me, brother, if you hear me burp.
Wow, that's awesome.
Come on.
I guess you annihilated your food, so to speak, right?
Hey, bruh, I'm talking about annihilated, bro. I ate till I passed out. Come on.
Okay, my partner here, Poetic, Lace, is going to be doing an interview. Poetic.
Are you there?
Lace.
Yes.
Yeah, you with me. Lace, you're going to go ahead and do the interview.
Oh, is that calling in?
Poetic Lace, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm so sorry about it. My microphone is dead on me, but we good. Yo,
okay.
Uncle Reese, I got to say this because y'all know y'all got to give me my moment of time to say this. I've had the pleasure to meet this man. And when I say man of God, I'm talking about man of God for real, for real. When I say I met a lot of artists, you know, mainstream or independent, and I can't say that everybody is doing it because they love God. But this young man here, blazing. Like, you know, everybody in this industry is kind of arrogant and prideful, but nobody really likes to reach out to other people because they don't know if they're going to hit you back. But I saw the man's music. I said, oh, he anointed. I tweeted him. I said, bruh, so dope. I'm praying for you. I didn't even know you, cuz, but I'm praying for you. I feel like you're my brother. And I messed around to see him in public, you know, a couple of days later. And,
yeah, man, me and Poetic Lace was in jail together. He saw me locked up. You don't understand. He reached out to me.
But real talk, man, I commend you as a man of God. And let's get this popping. Let's get this interview going. All right, so we're going to pretend I didn't say none of that stuff, but we don't know you, cuz. We don't know you. We didn't read your bio. We didn't promote nothing.
Okay.
Nothing went on. So who is Uncle Reese?
Uncle Reese is a worshiper, and he is a faithful fiance. He's a person who loves his friends and his family above anything else, man. Loyalty is one of my strongest strengths.
And
that's it, man. Like, even my team, man, like, every person on my team is somebody I consider to be a family member to me. So, I mean, that's just how we roll, man. We kind of, like, I believe that nobody should be left behind. Like, of course, if somebody don't get with the program, they can leave themselves behind. But we'll do anything that we can for a friend. That's how I roll. That's how my whole team rolls. Like I say, Poet and Lace, I mean, you met me at my brother's shop. You know what I mean? And you see how we roll just as a clique, just as a family in general, man. So, but at the core, bro, that's who Uncle Reese is.
Okay. So, we're going to take this a little deeper. I'm from what they call an urban community, which is a nice way of saying ghetto. And a lot of times, these urban communities, especially doing outreaches or whatever it may be, I encounter a lot of people that feel that they have no reason to believe in God. It's like, Lace, you're doing your thing as an artist, but what they got to do with me, I'm stuck here. I don't have the gifts you have. I say all that to say, they're looking at you, Reese. They're looking at you, and they want to know, what is your testimony? Because testimonies is what really changes a lot of people's lives when they hear a lot of testimonies. What is your testimony that caused you to be so bold in bringing the gospel? What has God brought you through that can make me say, you know what, I was there, you know what, I am here, but I'm about to come out of it, because if he can do it, I can do it.
Man, I just, like I said, man, I'm going to encourage, like I say, every listener of the radio show, and just remind them that, like, we're no different than any of you guys. Like, anything that someone else deals with, we probably deal with. I mean, growing up, like I say, man, straight F high school student, man. I was in high school for 5.5 years, man. Just didn't have any desire to be successful in anything. You know, didn't really have a lot of hope for my future. Just dealt with a lot of insecurities growing up, man. Like, too short, too ugly, too fat, head too big, feet too big. You know, just the regular things, man. Dealt with peer pressure and didn't even deal with it in the right way. But, you know, just got to a point, man, just being 20 years old, being in high school 5.5 years and just failing. And at 20 years old, man, just really, really, it just clicked one day. I was like, you know what? Like, God really loves me for real. Not just what. I'm not talking about singing them song, yeah, Jesus loves. I'm talking about, no, like, Jesus really loves me, Mari Hicks, and he cares about everything that I care about, and he cares about everything that I want to do, and he cares about everything that I want to become, and he's even teaching me what I can become, man. Truth be told, man, I met two people that transformed my entire life, and I met a girl named Melanie Hager, and she introduced me to a woman named Carrie Alexander, who is my fiance now. But it was my first time I ever saw anyone living for Jesus. And it was the first time that somebody, like, two people just loved me for no reason. Like, there was nothing that I could do for them. It was nothing that I didn't have anything to offer them. And they loved me and were my friends and did not judge me at all. Like, told me that I was special, told me that I was smart, told me that I could do something with my life. And, I mean, I constantly failed over and over and over again, but they never judged me, like, ever. They just kept telling me who I was, and, you know, as a result of seeing them, I developed the courage to believe these things that I was hearing that God said about me, man. And once I grabbed hold of it, man, I went to college and made straight A's, man. Everything that I touched from 20 years old and on was just blessed. Everything.
So,
I mean, there's no difference between a Poetic Lace, a Uncle Reese, a Lecrae, a Ty Tribbett, a Kirk Franklin. Like, everybody's human. Like, if we fall on the ground, we'll skin our knees just like any other human being.
Talk to him.
Anybody can do what you see somebody doing. Like, there ain't nobody... It's crazy because it's like everybody's special, but ain't nobody special, if you get what I'm saying.
Yes, sir. Break it down.
Should I get a little deeper?
I just want to touch a little bit.
deep in the Hebrew means equinate. That wasn't heck with me. But you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's special, but ain't nobody special. Put it this way.
Right.
Everybody's special, but nobody is more special than anyone else. God wants to use everybody and anybody, and he will. It's just, if you believe the world when the world tells you that you suck, can I say that word on the radio?
Yeah, if you hear the things I be saying on here.
Let me just not say it no more, but if somebody if people tell you that you're inadequate and you believe them, then that's what you're going to be. But if you believe everything that God says about you, you're going to start acting like it. Like, once I found out that I was smart and I believed it because Carrie told me that I was smart, once I noticed how many dumb people that I hang around. Because I was like, dang. Like, somebody told me I'm smart, and I actually believe them. So now when I'm all my friends, which are just like me, you know, I'm like, dang, bro, I got a pain in my kidney. I might need to go to the hospital. Carl, don't go to no hospital, dog. Man, what you gonna do? I'm like, no. That's not the solution to our problem. Okay, if my friends are talking about you guys just drink you some apple juice and call it that, you know what I'm saying? I started realizing the madness that I was in. Like, when somebody told me that I was special and that I had a business mind and that I could generate revenue and I could do something with my talent, it didn't make any sense to not do that. But I had to believe the good things that God said about me.
Amen.
I had to believe that I was more than a conqueror. Because if I truly believe that, I'm not going to settle for failure, and I'm not going to settle for being surrounded around people that fail all the time. Like, your circle will change. If you believe, like, for instance, man, like, say Poetic Lace, who's the other DJ?
Lamont Ferguson.
Yes. Who am I talking to? I know Poetic Lace.
Lamont Ferguson. Yes.
Okay, check this out, Mr. Ferguson. If me, you, and Poetic Lace, right? Say we play basketball, right? We 3 hours, right? And you know Uncle Reese going to win every game. That's a given. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to win every game.
Poetic Lace
might win. Nah, Poetic Lace ain't going to do nothing. So I know he went to college for basketball. It's been a long time. It's a new day, baby. It's a new day. So if we play basketball for 3 hours, right, we leave from the court, and then I say, man, I'm going to see y'all there tomorrow. We don't take no shower or change clothes and meet the next day and ball for 3 hours again. And I say, look, man, I'm going to see y'all tomorrow. We don't take no shower again, and we meet there the next day and hoop for 3 hours a day. After a week, we're all going to smell pretty bad.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. And if we hang around each other, we ain't even going to know we smell bad.
Truth.
But if somebody else might meet me and say, Maurice, bro, like, you should not be smelling like this, brother. So what's going to happen is I'm going to take a shower, then I'm going to come back the next day and try to hoop with y'all. I'm going to be very uncomfortable. It's kind of the same way when you realize who you are in Christ. You're going to be uncomfortable when you go hang back around filthy people. Like, when you hang around people that do the filthy, because nobody's really filthy, But when you hang around people that are involved in filth, just sin, like, you're not going to be comfortable in that no more. So eventually your circle is going to have to change.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. That's what happened to me. I started hanging around Christians. I started reading the Word of God for myself. And just certain stuff just didn't make sense. Like, it did not make sense to me anymore to smoke 22 J's in one day.
Yeah.
It did not make sense to me to go post up in front of the Quickie store on in front of Lane Avenue for 6 hours.
Wow.
It just didn't make sense to me anymore. It did not make sense for me to go put on a tank top with a hole on it and just chill all day, walk around with house shoes. It just didn't make sense to me anymore. Like, it just didn't make sense to me anymore to just work where I was working and have no future. So I went to college. Like, when your mind becomes renewed, just ignorance don't make sense. But at the same time, it's a process. Like, you know, I caught it when I was 20, but people have been preaching to me since I was 7 years old. It took me 13 years to get it. You get what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
And the thing with that is, though, a lot of people, black and white, systematically go to church.
Mm.
Because when they was growing up, their mom, their grandma, somebody took them to church. And then when they got older, it was just, okay, Sunday we go to church. And that's that. Systematically, a lot of people go to church. A lot of people get it, but they don't apply.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So that's
definitely. And a lot of people don't even understand the function of church. Like, they really don't get it. Like church is not, like, truth be told, man, if you're going to church and you're not growing, then I'm gonna be bold enough to say, bro, don't even
go
with this. You might as well just watch cartoons or just do something else with your time. Like, because
tell
you don't, my thing is this, right? Okay, why would I go to med school if I have no intention of ever becoming a doctor?
Come on now. Come on.
It's a waste of my time. Like, my thing is this. Yeah, I go to church. It's cool. Whatever. But, man, you know, that's cool, but my thing is church is a beautiful, beautiful thing when it's used properly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a tool, it's an educational tool to learn more about your Father, to fellowship with others that can strengthen you. Because, I mean, it wasn't church that got me saved. It wasn't, because I've been going to church since I was born.
Mm.
You know what I mean? But what got me saved was I met some real Christians that ain't have nothing better to do with their time but call me and hang out with me.
Mm.
Wow.
And they weren't where I was in life either. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be a difference if, like, you know, we worked at the same place. Man, I lived in Jacksonville and they lived in Orlando.
Mm.
But they would call me to pray with me. They would call me to check on me. They would call me.
See, I don't know if you were listening to the show before you came on, but you're hitting subjects that we were talking about being that living example for the next person. We're talking about accountability, how we all need somebody to hold us accountable that's not in our circumstance, but someone who can actually show us the way. Like, I was talking about, bro, pull your pants up, bro. Like, people don't know until you tell them, unless you're bold enough. We can't be, like I was saying, we cannot be, if you're not a part of the solution, then what are you a part of? Mm-hmm. That's too close to the problem. I don't like it when people are like, I can't stand this and everything's going wrong, da 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 da. And then you ask them, well, what are you doing about it? Nothing, man. I'm just complaining. Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you just added no.
You can't stand it so much that you are not doing anything to change it.
Nothing? Nothing.
See, and that's something else, like how you talked about how you're so bold. Once I read about the Bible and got the gospel in me, that didn't make sense to hate something and do nothing about it. It just didn't make sense to me. Like, I was like, I really hate how disrespectful my peers are to elderly people. So what I did is I started talking to my friends. And I started talking to elderly people and say, like, how do y'all feel about these things? Like, something that really made me mad. Like, it made me mad how many of my friends and people that I knew were having babies that they don't take care of. Like, it made me upset. You know what I mean? Like, it made me upset. Like, for one, like, when my eyes were open, first thing God really showed me is how I treated women. So I would get mad when I would see a guy treating a woman a certain way. So I did something about it, and I started checking dudes about how they treat women, right? And then in checking dudes how they treat women and really getting involved, see, I got involved in the problem that I hated. And then after I really got involved, my feelings got hurt because I was like, dude, it ain't even really, okay, dudes treat women bad, but dog, women are kind of trained to be treated bad, like, they don't even like nice guys. Good guys are not cool. Like, so, I mean, I saw another part. It's like, in really being concerned about the problem, I found another problem to be concerned with. And then even in that, I was like, why are these women like this? Then I started really saying, well, dang, now I got to get involved with y'all parents because y'all parents are the ones raised y'all like this. And then when I started getting involved with the parents, I was like, okay, now I got to start getting involved with the fatherless homes. And then when I got involved with that, I was like, dang, now I got to just get involved with just self-control and pride that breaks up marriages and then keep going down and going down until I found out. I was like, dang. The more I got involved in an issue, and I got involved in that issue, and by the time I got to the root, I was like, dang, now I got to get involved with what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden.
Thing came
into the world, because that's the root of everything. You know what I'm saying? And so now I had to be like, dude, you know what? If you really want to fix your community, if you really want to fix the way men treat women, the way women allow men to treat them, fatherlessness, the best thing to do is get somebody saved. Like, because that's the only way you can really fix the human problem.
True. Reese, I don't even want to cut you off because that's a whole other show. You snapped me like how I would. And I'm like, I know where he's going to go with this. It's going to get deep. But we got it. Let's get to the we loving you. So we want to hear your song right now.
Absolutely.
That's what we're going to do. Because, you know, I already know. We can talk for hours. I already know. So we got to bring you back on the Covenant Cafe for a special, talk. But we got to get to the song.
Get to the song. And then don't go anywhere. Until I pass out, here on the Covenant Cafe, Uncle Reese.
Come on,
let's get it.
I truly understand what people may say. They believe to think how we think is far from okay. But I believe it's never okay to abandon your dreams. And it just so happens that our dream is to lift up a holy king. See, this is my life, my choice, and I choose to lift up my hands. And please don't be alarmed if when the music comes on, I begin to dance. And run across the room until I can barely catch my breath. And fall on the floor because I gave it all and have nothing left. See, I'm going worship until I pass. Worship until I pass out. The reason
have somebody, you can go ahead and laugh at me. Cause while you're steady laughing, I'm dancing off shackles and being set free. See, I may look like money, but you don't know what I've been through. And I'm still going through some of it, so dancing is something that I gotta do. On this broken hearted man, grabbed my hand and he made me whole. Yeah. See, Jesus was the only one who saved my soul. Yeah. And Jesus was the only one that made me whole. So I'm gonna worship until I pass.
Booking@UncleReese.com.
Good stuff.
Somebody randomly asked me this question. They said, what's up with an Uncle Reese and Poetic Lace collaboration?
Shoot, the only thing up with it is let's do it.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, that's it.
Y'all heard that. So
wow.
We will keep y'all updated with that. Winks to the people. last quick question. It's the $1 million question.
Come on.
Can you fry chicken?
Can I fry chicken? Now, I got to tell the truth. I cannot fry chicken. But.
It's all good. It's all good.
Check this out. My fiance, the love of my life, my heart.
Huh.
By everything. She can fry some chicken. She can do soul food and she does healthy food too, man. I got the best of both worlds, man. She's so
we definitely appreciate you taking your time and coming in and calling in on your busy Sunday. We really appreciate that. So,
and I appreciate y'all having me, man. As always, Poetic Lace, man, I appreciate you just as a brother and a friend, man. I appreciate you.
Man, amen.
Definitely.
Amen. Most definitely. And you know I'm going to hit you up by that track because I can't let the people down.
come on, somebody. Come on.
There it is. And we appreciate it, man. Like I said, make sure you keep up the good work. And we definitely will stay in touch, and we definitely going to be looking forward to that collaboration.
All right, bro.
All right.
All right.
For sure. Peace. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Wow, that song go hard, yo.
It goes hard in the paint, don't it?
I wanted to elaborate, but, due to the time, man.
I know, bro. Time.
All right, so what is our words to live by for this week?
Our words for the week, it comes from Galatians 5:15-17, which says, well, it started 14, which says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I said then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. This whole scripture, what we're talking about, couple things I want to quickly pinpoint on. It says, but when you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by yourself. You know how you keep on, man, I can't stand that fag. He's a fag. You keep on saying that certain thing, slowly but surely it consumes you.
Mm-hmm.
And you become that thing that you keep on complaining about. So complain less, people. And the last thing is that the spirit and the flesh, they don't agree with each other. So you know how you have a time when your flesh is like, oh, let's go do this, but your spirit says you shouldn't do it. There's going to always be a fight between the two. So you do have a choice in the matter of getting consumed. That's how you know the difference between right and wrong. So let's be more, during this week, let's be more in tune with God and what God is saying. Let's be more in tune with a relationship with Him so that we don't do the things that are going to lead us to hell.
Absolutely. You got that? And the bottom line on that, make sure you go hard in the paint.
Ah.
There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a wonderful show. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Make sure you tune in next week. We never know who's going to drop by.
Never know.
This is the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and...
Poetic Lace.
And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Here's the outro.
This is the outro, so long, farewell. This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do this. Build you up, encourage you. This is the D-Hour Show, feel free to come on through. Lamont Ferguson, Poetic Lacey's are the host. From the east to the west, we broadcast coast to coast. The Covenant Cafe, yeah, that is the name. We reppin' Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're unashamed. He died so we can live. So I'm steady boasting. I think that calls for tears. So I'm steady toasting. What's up, D-Slade?
radio. He's stepping on the glass, I guess it's time to go. So let me close with these words so I can keep it meek. Thanks for stopping by, hope to see you next week.